We're here to study for 7 weeks to realize that miracles are available to you every day. Miracles still happen today. Now, this is not a series about seeking miracles. This is a sermon series about seeking the one who provides those miracles. And when you follow Jesus far enough and long enough, you will experience the miraculous. You will experience the miraculous. Now, while all of us want a miracle, most of us don't want to be in the situations that necessitate one. While we all want a miracle, and I want to say this because this is going to be something you're going to hear and it's going to have to sink in. While all of us want a miracle, most of us don't want to live in situations that necessitate one. But a problem is a prerequisite for a miracle. And the bigger the problem, the greater potential you have for a miracle. If a wedding does not run out of wine, there's no opportunity for Jesus to show up with a miracle. If there's 20,000 people in need of food, and there's no food, there's no chance for Jesus to multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 20,000 people. In other words, a problem is always a prerequisite for a miracle. So if you have a lot of problems, you have a lot of potential. Somebody raise your hand and say, I got a lot of problems. I got a lot of problems. Praise God. You're juicy and ripe for some miracles up in this place. I mean, this is the nature of a miracle. A miracle is God taking a terrible or struggling, challenging situation and bringing in his glory and his power and bringing rescue or provision in a divine manner. And we serve a God who can make your impossible possible. Because he wants to reveal his glory through you. He still does miracles today, and they're all around us. We just choose not to see them. I mean, when the snow falls, that's a miracle. The earth staying in orbit. I can't explain it to you, but it's a miracle. Have you ever experienced a baby being born, a grandchild, or your own child, or maybe you work at the hospital? Every time a child is born, it's an absolute miracle. And some of you say, well, I've not experienced any miracles recently, or I don't ever remember experiencing a miracle. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Sometimes you do with a little bit of chagrin. I get that. Take a shower first, then look in the mirror. I don't know. Do your hair up, whatever you need to do. But you are a miracle. I mean, you are a miracle. You are God's creation. I mean, think about it. How is it possible that we can breathe in oxygen and God turns that into the nutrients that we need to be able to have our blood flow and our circulatory system and the 5 senses that we have and our eyes and our toes and our fingers and our ears and all the things that God has blessed our human body with. I mean, just looking in the mirror alone, you can be reminded that you are a miracle. Look what it says in Psalm. It says, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. The Bible goes on to say, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now watch this. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. God's works, God's signs, God's wonders, God's miracles, whatever you want to call them, because God is a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. His works are what allow us to know these things full well. To know that who God is, to know his character, to know his ability. And it says, I know that full well. The question is, do you know this? Do you know the God of miracles? Do you know the God of power? You see, God's work of miracles are available to us today. And what happens is we lose awareness of his miracles. And when we lose the awareness of God's miracles and the possibility of them, we wind up losing the awe of God. We wind up losing faith in God that he is actually able. And the question is there anything that God cannot do? Is there anything that God cannot do? It's easy to say that God is loving. It's easy to say that God is full of grace and God is a God of hope. But the logical tendencies of human nature and natural law and our brains scoff at the possibility of miracles. Our human brain just isn't wired for them. But miracles are what validate that God is God. You can say God is a God of grace and God is a God of love, but if he's not a God of miracles, he's not worthy of being our God. It is miracles, it's a display of his power that validate that God is God. When we see his raw power in action, we know full well his works. We know full well his signs. We know full well the wonders because we know that he's able to make the impossible possible. And we just simply pray, oh God, help us in our unbelief. Look what the author John writes in the Bible in John chapter 20, verse 31. But these things are written. These miracles are recorded. These miracles are recorded that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. What else validates that Jesus is God other than his ability to perform the supernatural? that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that by believing in these miracles, this power, this display of who he is, you may have life in his name. So my prayer for each and every one of us in these 7 weeks is that each of us would take a look at these miracles, and these miracles would allow us a new and fresh perspective and approach to our Savior. It would grow our belief that he is able to breathe new life into our deepest challenges and our darkest moments and even our simplest requests. That's the nature of the very first miracle recorded in John, is the simplest of requests. Jesus helps someone save face. That's basically what Jesus does. That's the result of this miracle. That's what God is moved by in compassion to show an awesome display of his power. We have a couple who runs out of wine at their wedding feast, and in the process, Jesus jumps into action. Mary, his mother's there. She makes him aware that there's a need. And so Jesus says to the servants in John chapter 2, verse 7, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim, and they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from. And then he called the bridegroom aside and said, even everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you, my friend, have saved the best till now. Now, evidently, someone in the wedding planning process messed up big time. They messed up big time. You ever go to a wedding and you can just tell there was a snafu? I mean, how's a wedding not a wedding without some kind of snafu? Whether it's at the ceremony itself or whether you're at the reception, there's something that always messes up. A kid runs down the aisle or goes chaotic or crazy or, you know, I think in our wedding, the pastor called my wife by a different name, April, twice. Good news is he was a good close friend of ours. He had just performed the wedding of our close friend the previous weekend, and his wife's name was, in fact, April. So he just got himself confused a little bit. But stuff happens like that all the time. So there is a major goof up here. I mean, you think, well, this may not be any big deal that they had some poor planning going on, that there wasn't enough wine. But you got to think about this. 2,000 years ago, this would have been a major embarrassment for this couple. They would have been publicly shamed to run out of wine on their wedding day. And think about it. On our wedding days, we want everything to be perfect, don't we? I mean, we want it to be the perfect day. So enter Jesus. Jesus comes in and saves the day for a couple who has run out of wine. And that is the first miracle. And the miracle about the first miracle is he's not saving a life, he's saving face. He's not healing the blind. He's not raising the dead. He's simply saving face. And it reveals just how much God cares. Watch this now. It reveals just how much God cares about the smallest and most minute details in your life. It reveals to you just how simplistic God is about how much he cares for you. God is great, not just because nothing is too big for him. God is great because nothing is too small for him. Not even the smallest things go unnoticed in your life by God. I remember it was years ago. It was one of our first camping trips. We had Isabel, Elizabeth, and Tana, and Austin, and Elizabeth was really young, and we were still dealing with reconciling Apert syndrome with Isabel, and we were on this vacation. We stopped in Kentucky on the way home at Fort Boonesboro State Park, which was just about an hour from Lexington, and while we were there camping and seeing the sights, Isabel got deathly ill that night. She was just getting sick all over the place, vomiting all over the place. We were freaking out. We didn't know if it had to do with her Apert syndrome or she just had the flu or what. So on our vacation, the next morning, we have to drive while I'm hosing off outside all of the sleeping bags and everything else. I won't get into too many more details, but it was our hearts were broken for her. We didn't know what to do. We're kind of panicking, and so we drove up to the hospital and to the ER in Lexington. Well, I'm sitting out in the truck popping videos on for Elizabeth and Austin and Tana to keep them occupied, and meanwhile, Aaron's in the ER in the waiting room sitting with Isabel, which seems like an eternity. I mean, hours were going by. I went through all of the movies that we had, I think, in the truck, and I finally saw this Speedway gas station across the way. The rain was coming down, and I just said, I got to get the kids something to eat. So we went to the Speedway gas station. I'm spent. I'm worried. Aaron's freaking out. We don't know what's going on. I'm at my last wit's end and nerve because I've been in the car cooped up with three young kids. They were really young then. They did a great job. We were hungry. We were tired. And we walked into this Speedway, and I will never forget. This is a Speedway gas station, mind you. The lady behind the counter had this angelic smile, and she said, hey, I am so glad that you guys are here. What can I do for you? You guys look a little bit worn out. I said, well, we just need a couple things to eat. She said, well, there's something in the back. Go check it out. And so there was this one of those roller things with hot dogs on it and corn dogs and taquitos or whatever they might be, and they were out of corn dogs, and she overheard my daughter say, I think Tana said, I really would like the corn dog, and she overheard us. She said, well, no problem, I'll go to the back and get you some corn dogs. I'll bring them out, and we'll get them heated up in the microwave and make sure you're taken care of. And she said, oh, by the way, all of our drinks are a dollar. I mean, I was getting better service there than I would at a five-star restaurant. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And then when we went to check out at the counter, I looked at her, and I just said, you know Jesus Christ, don't you? And she said, I love him with all my heart. He's my personal Lord and Savior. Now, I believe in that moment, and I can't tell you what a gift that was, what a simple and small gift that was that God gave us that day. We were worn out. We were tired. You know, our lives weren't hanging on a thread. We were just worn out and tired, but God gave us a gift, brought somebody into our life. I believe that if we would have gone back there in an hour, she would have not have been there. I believe she was one of God's angels. I believe that God brought her into our life for that specific time and that specific moment in our lives. And I could have looked at that and just called that a coincidence or happenstance, but to this day, I believe that that is a sign of God's miracle in our life, and it's also a reminder to me that nothing is too simple and nothing is too small in our lives for God to want to do something like that. For goodness sake, it's a Speedway gas station, and we're getting five-star hospitality in that place. So why don't miracles happen more often in our life? It's because we're not living with our eyes open. It's because we're not attentive to the Spirit of God working all around us. Miracles are possible today, and they are happening. And not only are you a miracle, but you are someone else's miracle. I want you to hear that again. Not only are you a miracle, these are two great truths today. You are a miracle. Praise God. When you feel lousy, run down, worn out, that you've got nothing left, stand in front of the mirror. Remind yourself, you are God's miracle, but you are also someone else's miracle. And that's what the gas station lady, that's all I know her as, I don't remember her name, the gas station lady, the gas station angel, that's what she was. That's what she realized, that she could be someone else's miracle. All it takes is to speak life-giving words into somebody, to deliver God's will, to deliver good news or goodwill. We just studied that as we studied Christmas presents this past month. The right word at the right time can be a catalyst to God's miracle. You are God's prophet. God wants you to be someone else's miracle. And you can simply do that by speaking words of strength and encouragement and inspiration into people's lives. And God is going to strategically position you in people's lives to breathe life into them. That's what God did with her. In the book of John, in chapter 2, going on in the story, actually this is at the beginning of the story of turning water into wine. It said, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus had also been invited. It's a good thing they invited God to the party. That's a good thing. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you need to involve me? By the way, don't ever talk to your mother like that. Think about that for a second. Woman, why do you involve me? Don't ever talk to your mother like that. Don't talk to your grandmother like that. Don't talk to the ladies in your life like that. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour is not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Here's an amazing thing about this miracle. Do you sense Jesus is hesitant here? Jesus is hesitant to perform this miracle. He's hesitant to reveal to the world that he is God. Remember, up to this year, for 30 years, he has been a carpenter, and that's it. And to perform this miracle, now he's going to have his coming out party. He is going to make a statement to the world of who he really is. And this five-word statement of belief that his mom has for him, hey, Jesus, they have no more wine, this five-word statement of belief, life-giving words she speaks into him, launches him into being the miracle worker that he is and that we know him to be to this day. It is a prophetic word that she speaks to him. They are life-giving words to him. And if you're a parent or a grandparent, you are a prophet to your kids. You are a prophet to your grandkids. You get to call out God's best in them, how he might be able to use us and to use people. How might God be using you to be someone else's miracle this day? And sometimes it just takes a nudge. Sometimes it just takes a nudge. And here's the funny thing about Jesus in this miracle. Jesus seems hesitant. He says, not at this time. It's not necessarily time for this coming out party. I don't know if this is the right time. And the miracle in itself is incredible that he turns water into wine. But the greater miracle here is that Jesus trusts his mother with her instincts, and Jesus is God. How do you explain that? Maybe the only way to explain that is Jesus is fully God and fully human. He's fully God and fully human, and so he goes through all the struggles and challenges that any human being would walking this earth. And so even in this moment, Jesus leans on the words and the instincts of his mother to lead him to an incredible miracle. Sisters and brothers, often we miss miracles that are right in front of us because we're too close to the situation. We miss miraculous opportunities that are right in front of us because we have a blind spot. And oftentimes, we need someone to give us a poke in the rib or a kick in the pants, because most miracles require a nudge from somebody else for us to see them, for us to walk into them, or for us to be the miracle for someone else. You know, a catalyst for a miracle is often a nudge from somebody. And in this case, a catalyst for this miracle is a nudge from Mom. And if Jesus needs a nudge, then don't you think we may need a nudge from time to time as well? There are times where we need a nudge in our life. There are times where we need to give a nudge to somebody else. Nearly every miracle in Scripture has a supporting cast. Look at the paralytic. He had the roof torn open by his friends and dropped through a ceiling. It was only the work of his friends that got him in front of Jesus to provide a miracle. Look at the boy who provided the 5 loaves and the 2 fish for Jesus' miracle. We don't even know the kid's name. We just know him as the boy. What a supporting cast that God uses to launch people into the miraculous. Sometimes it just takes a nudge. The Bible reads in Hebrews, the author there writes, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." What's a spur? Well, a spur is something that a cowboy or cowgirl used to wear on the back of their boots. They still do. And they use them to dig them into the side of a horse to get the horse going, to kind of give them a nudge, to give them a little poke to say, "Let's get going." And that's what God is saying that we need in our life. There are times where we need a spur in our side, and we need to pay attention to those nudges that come our way from somebody else or from God downloading them directly into our spirit. When His Spirit gives you one, we need to obey it and move on it. We also need to give them. We can be prophetic. We need to give nudges, and miracles will follow. Miracles will follow in those nudges. So Mary, Jesus' mother, gives him enough of a push that it catapults him into this incredible miracle. And God wants to do the same thing for you. There's all kinds of incredible things about this story. Let's talk about the nature and simplicity of water. I mean, think about the nature and the simplicity of water in this process. Nothing is more plain on earth than boring old water. And on hot, dry days when we're parched, nothing else satisfies like a long, tall glass of water. And Jesus starts with water. Think about that for a second. His very first miracle. Jesus starts with water. He takes the simplest element on earth, the simplest thing on earth, and he turns it into something 1,000 times more beautiful and more flavorful. And if God can do that with water, what can he do with you? What can he do with you? What can he do with our plain and simple and boring lives? I mean, a lot of us feel that way. A lot of us feel like we don't have anything to offer. We're just plain Jane or simple Sam, or we just have nothing really big going on in our lives. We feel simple. Well, guess what? If God can take water, the simplest element in the earth, and turn it into wine, what can God do with you? And what can he do in your life? Honestly, we just grossly underestimate the God, as Paul says in Ephesians, the God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We grossly underestimate this God, the God who can do immeasurably more than all we can imagine. That's the definition of a miracle right there. A God who can do immeasurably more than we can even think of asking or even possibly imagining. And he starts his ministry with water to show what he can do with next to nothing. And it reminds us that Jesus is therefore the catalyst for any and every transformation in our life, whether water into wine or sinners into saints. You see, it's not about seeking miracles, but it's about seeking the one who can perform them. And when you follow Jesus long enough and far enough, you will experience them. I pray every day for my daughter's complete healing of Apert syndrome. I pray every day, bold prayers for God to heal her. Now I'm praying for the healing for my mother and the cancer that she's dealing with. And I'm praying bold prayers for God to come and do the miraculous. I'm praying for you too and the challenges that you have in your life. I'm praying for healing in our lives. But if God chooses not to heal my mom fully or heal my daughter Isabel fully here on earth, I know that they someday will have no challenges in heaven. And the one who reverses the curse of sin will reverse the curse of Apert syndrome, reverse the curse of cancer, of Alzheimer's, of asthma, and sooner or later there will be no more pain, no more sickness, and no more hurt. And so while I pray for these large miracles of healing daily for my family and for you, I thank him along the way for every other miracle that he brings into my life that's evident and visible, like simply turning water into wine to help save face. Yesterday, we were blessed with a couple of tickets on Friday to go to the Buckeye game, the Ohio State basketball game. And so I was going to take Tana because Austin just had a chance to go to a game 2 weeks ago. And I took him last year. Well, Erin was kind of disappointed because she was really excited about going. And at the last second before we left, all of a sudden, Tana got a phone call that one of her friends had another ticket. And so Tana ended up, the three of us went up there and met them. Tana sat with her friend. Erin sat with me. We had a great time. And guess what? The Buckeye football team just happened to show up that day with Urban Meyer because they won a small game on Thursday night. Now, it was just such a blessing. And I thought the whole time, there was never a moment in my life during that time yesterday where I thought, man, what a coincidence. I didn't think of it as a coincidence. I thought, this is God just simply showing me his favor, showing my wife his favor in a simple way. As a simple way, going to a game is not life or death. Turning water into wine is not life or death. But it is the simple things that God does in your life that shows you just how much he cares about everything else in your life. And I have felt blessed because of it. Not just because of the game or because it was the Buckeyes, but because I knew that God's hand was upon us and he was showing us his divine favor. I saw an expression of his power and his loving compassion for us. And sisters and brothers, there are small and simple things that happen in your life every day where he is doing the same thing for you. We've got to open our eyes and see truly what God is capable of doing. Praise be to him. Praise be to him. Before I wrap this up, I want to share one more thought about this miracle with you, the winemaker turning water into wine. The first miracle foreshadows the last miracle. Watch this now. The first miracle foreshadows the last miracle. As I said to you, there are seven miracles in John that we're going to focus on. Now, that doesn't include the conception, divine conception, Jesus born of a virgin. It doesn't include the forgiveness of sins at the end, and it doesn't include the resurrection from the dead. Those are common ones that we talk about, but there are seven other unique and distinct miracles that we started with, starting with turning water into wine. Now, if you think about this for a second, the first miracle foreshadows the last. At a wedding, he turns water into wine. At the Last Supper, he turns wine into his blood. Watch this now. We just celebrated Holy Communion, and we talked about the wine becoming his blood. The first miracle, he turns water into wine. And before he is resurrected from the dead, he turns wine into his blood as a sacrifice for our sins for all time. And so the first miracle foreshadows the last, turning wine into the blood of his new covenant, which forgives our sins. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians. Paul writes this: God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In the Jewish sacrificial system, a blood sacrifice was required for the forgiveness of sins in order to be able to be made right with God. And Jesus came as the sinless sacrifice. And so he turned water into wine to save face. But he wasn't done, because he turned water into his blood to give us grace. The first miracle saved face. This last miracle gave us grace. Praise be to God. It is a foreshadowing to the greatest miracle of all time, turning wine into blood for the forgiveness and the remission of our sins, to save the world from sin and death and destruction, to give grace to all. That is the greatest miracle of all. And when we celebrate communion, the journey back to the foot of the cross is a part of that process. We make a beeline for Jesus when we celebrate communion. It's the same thing that Mary does at the wedding feast. She makes a beeline for Jesus because she's not going to just look for a miracle. She's going to go to the one who can provide them. And sisters and brothers, this is not a sermon series about finding miracles. This is a sermon series about chasing the one who provides them. And when you follow Jesus long enough and far enough, you are certain to experience miracles along the way. Mary didn't seek a miracle. She went straight to the one, the only one that she knew could provide the miracle that that wedding feast and that couple needed that day. Don't seek miracles. Seek Jesus. And in the process, be washed in his blood and live into a relationship with him. And if you do, miracles will follow. I love this verse of scripture in Mark. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. When you believe in Christ, when you follow Jesus, when you have a relationship, miracles and works and wonders and signs follow. That's just the nature of Jesus. They follow him everywhere he goes, just like stink on Pigpen. Pigpen and Charlie Brown. Everywhere he goes, that dirt cloud just follows him. Well, everywhere Jesus goes, miracles follow. Signs follow. His wondrous works follow. So if you need a miracle, seek Jesus. seek Jesus. Here's a couple of action steps. Number one, start a daily habit of prayer and devotion. We have devotional guides out there, Upper Rooms, Daily Breads. Take those with you. Use them as a daily guide of prayer and scripture study and just getting quiet with God. Number two, open your eyes for a miracle this week. There are miracles all around you. You just got to open your eyes and your spirit to them. Number three, be someone's miracle this week. You are a miracle, so be somebody's miracle. Speak some life-giving words into people. And lastly, take these cards with you. There's some in your bulletin. We have stacks that are available. Take two or three of these with you. Drop them in a friend's box. You know people who need a miracle. Everyone does. Give them to somebody at work. Give them to a neighbor. You know, I don't know, drive by someone's house and drop it on their front porch. Hand it to somebody that you see at Walmart. Take stacks of these with you. There's some on the tables here. I think there's some on the information desk out there. There's one in your bulletin. Take these with you and invite someone to come back next Sunday who you think needs a miracle. And oh, by the way, all of us need a miracle. And we know the one who provides them. Praise be to God. I want to invite you to a time of prayer. In this moment, you can, if you want to, take a purple prayer card from in front of you, fill that out. You can bring it forward, and you can place it into one of these two baskets. At that time, you can also come forward and remain here, and you can kneel at the altar. You can also, if you'd like to, have somebody from our prayer team pray with you. All those options are open to you, or you can just simply stay right where you are and allow God to just do a new work in your heart as you pray and reflect on what God wants to do in your life, the God of miracles. Let's pray together.
Greet you today, Father, in the rain. We thank you for the life it brings. We thank you for this new year. We pray that we can bring life in the same fashion as your rain, that we can help wash over others your joy, your love, your grace, just as you've shown to us. Let's have this day to honor you with our words and our deeds. Help us to be mindful of those you put in our path, that we may serve them as you would have them served. It's your name we pray. Amen.